Julia is a Hungarian Jewish woman of great strength and resilience, really. She's always been she goes at life full force. And so when she falls in a complete heap after her husband's death, it takes everybody, including her, by complete surprise, because she's always been a really positive, affirmative person, not in the least bit introspective. She changes within weeks in a dramatic way that leaves her family nonplussed.
And what kind of effect does it have on her two adult children?
Well, her daughter Kotty is feeling completely helpless. She's a bit poleaxed by grief herself, because her father's died quite suddenly. Even though he's an old man, the death is sort of within 36 hours. It's happened, and so she feels it her duty to do whatever she can for Julia. But this is a person she doesn't know, and a person who fairly quickly begins to say, "I don't want to live anymore." And she simply doesn't know how to handle it. She does the obvious thing. She says, "Of course you want to live, Mum. You'll get over this," and goes with her to doctors and psychotherapists and the whole business. Her son, who is living in Paris with his wife, is a much younger person. He's a much less complex kind of person than Kotty, the daughter, is. But he also has a simply, "I can't believe this. She'll get over it. Let's take her on a holiday." And also he's ridden with guilt because he's not there half the time.
As things go along, Mother becomes more and more difficult to live with, more determined to die, has a couple of suicide attempts, and eventually Kotty agrees to help her die, an attempt that doesn't actually come off in the end. But that's a pretty incredible thing, a pretty incredible point for a daughter to come to, isn't it?
It is, and I, as a writer, I wanted to put it in the book. Of course, it was a difficult, very difficult scene to write. But I wanted to put it in the book because I think we all know that these things can happen. Even though they're not talked about, not acknowledged, it can get to a point where a child of an ageing parent has to look at what is the true duty. Is it to keep Mother alive at all costs, despite her consistent and seemingly sane wish to die? Does a child go against that wish, or does the child begin to say to herself, "Well, what is it that I can truly do to help my mother?" It's a terrible ethical and emotional dilemma, and that's why it's in the book, because it's one that a lot of people have to face.
And the most shocking thing in the book, really, is that Mother eventually decides to take her own life in a very dramatic way, and not a way that an elderly person would normally choose.
No, that's right. It's something else. It's there because I wanted people to look at the fact that in our Australian law, people who are elderly, who should be able to die a gentle death, have very few means to do that effectively. And so that they sometimes are forced to choose quite awful deaths. If they're truly determined, as Julia is, they will choose an awful death, a violent death, rather than continue living.
What made you want to explore this topic?
Well, the novel has autobiographical elements to it. I was in a not dissimilar situation with my own mother, who was desperate to die after my dad died. So it was personal experience that galvanised me into writing the novel, because I could see the huge emotional fallout from such circumstances, and I knew that I wasn't alone in this, that there would be other people facing the ageing of a parent, facing the fact that a parent no longer wants to live. And I thought, we need to go into dark places in order to shed some light into them, and that made me write the book.
You've explored the idea of the will to live, the desire to die, and whether there is a time when people should be able to choose when they do want to die. Is elderly depression a real issue in our society?
I think it is a real issue in our society. But I think we tend to medicalise it. I think we don't allow the legitimacy of some people's desire simply to say, "Enough, I've had enough."
So you're basically saying that we're really keeping a lot of people, old people, alive way beyond what they would want.
I think so. I think we need to listen to some of our old people. And if there's a very consistent wish to die, at the very least we need to listen to that and to think about it, rather than force them into living when that's no longer an option. Not to mention the huge cost and and medical apparatus that's needed to keep people alive when they no longer wish it themselves. It's something that this society needs to think about, and we've only done a bit of that in thinking about euthanasia, but at this stage, despite 80% of people who were interviewed about it approving of it, our politicians won't go near it.
Do you think it's part of our society not wanting to recognise death?
I think it's very much part of our society, and it's very much part of this 21st century and the 20th century that we don't want to go there. We don't want to look at the inevitability of death. And in other centuries, even suicide was not necessarily considered the anathema it is now. It was once considered, a legitimate option. If you were in a tight corner, or if you felt that you'd done everything you could in your life, back even in the 19th century, there was a romantic aura around it. So our century's take on suicide is not always the way it's been. And of course, we know that in other countries, as in Holland and in Oregon in the United States, it's not, there is legislation that is very different from ours, that allows a different path.